Good afternoon, everyone. It is Thursday, March 20th, 2025, and call the meeting of the Senate Elections Committee to order, and we do have a quorum. One item on the agenda today, and that is Senator Marty's Senate File 2386, which makes some changes to fundraising. Senator Marty, you have an A2 author's amendment. Would you like that voted on before you proceed?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to offer the A2 amendment.
Okay. Senator Marty offers the A2 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Senator Marty, proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is members of the committee. This is I'll call it a simple bill because I think it is a simple bill that would simply help address a couple of things. One of which would recognize that our constitutional officers may have when they're a new office holder, when they were just elected to replace somebody else or fill a vacancy or whatever, they may have some transition expenses. We already have in law, Minnesota is one of many states that provides some transition expenses for governors-elect. Governor Walz in the last election was already an incumbent governor, did not get any transition expenses, but first term a governor has, they are expected to be hitting the ground right away and running. The state puts a whopping $162,000 in for all of their transition expenses. It's not a lot, but it's something, and it's usually from right after Election Day until the first day in office. They need some help with this. And this bill would simply, using the same discretionary fund that has the money that could cover these costs, and it would provide similar grants to Secretary of State-elect, State Auditor-elect, and State Attorney General-elect. Not an incumbent one coming back again, but somebody who is new to the office and needs some time to get started in putting together their office operations. Provides $50,000, up to $50,000 to each of the attorneys, up to the state auditor and secretary of state, and to the attorney general provides $75,000. Unused funds would go back to the contingency fund. I believe this does not have a fiscal note because that is covered within the contingency fund. Again, this comes, there hasn't been a new governor for 7 years, 6 years, 7 years. And frankly, Secretary of State has been around longer than that. So some of these offices, people hold them for a number of years, but every once in a while, there's a new one. And you got to assume that would happen every 4 years, but there is enough money in the contingency account that we could afford to cover these. I think it's just simple fairness, and we already do it for the governors, and I think there's been good bipartisan support for that. That's sections 1, 2, and 3. Section 4 is part of a change how we fund inaugural events largely. Subdivision 4, Section 4 deals with the non-campaign disbursements for campaign funding. It adds a new provision, I think it's provision number 31. Transition expenses and inaugural event expenses is defined in elsewhere in statute. And the purpose for that is we would be changing in Section 5 that you cannot just take grants from whoever to give as much money as they want for inaugural events. That's a way people transition or inaugural events. Certain interest groups and others have decided, hey, we got this new chief executive or whomever, and a good way to show our support and curry favor with them perhaps might be giving large grants of funding. And it's been growing significantly in recent years. I'll use the federal level because I got the most recent numbers. Went from in the last half century, Jimmy Carter had a people's inaugural with hundreds of thousands of people coming to it. They spent $3.5 million on it. And of course, there's been inflation since then. But this most recent election year in 2025, 2 months ago, the inauguration apparently had $170 million from $3 million to $170 million. And the trouble with this is that there are all kinds of interest groups who are giving large amounts, large contributions to that, and so on. $1 million from Boeing, $500,000 from Chevron. Others are giving J.P. Morgan Chase. Others are giving large gifts to the inaugural committee, and it's a way they can get good access and build good relationships with those folks. But we'd be saying instead, in Minnesota, there's no limits on this right now, and it's really hard to find because it's not transparent, it's not reported. Campaign Finance Board does not get records of this because it's done outside of this. So this bill would propose instead that that be one of those non-campaign disbursements that candidates can raise money for using the existing contribution limits. And they would be able to raise money from folks for these purposes in Section 5, and explicitly that would mean an inaugural event for if one of you or somebody here decided to run for governor and won the governor's office in 2 years, that would be something that you could raise money for out of your campaign funds. You'd be stuck with the same limits you have. Inaugurations may be less expensive of parties, but it would stop what I think is a problem, because we have reasons we don't allow corporate contributions to candidates. There are reasons we limit how much lobbyists or interest groups or others can give, and this would continue that and make it apply to inaugural and transition expenses. That's basically the gist of the bill. The rulemaking provision, which we amended here, is simply because the Campaign Finance Board already has some costs of running a transition office, and it has a six-month, I think, timing, and it's different than the timing in here, so this would simply make sure that the rules conform with what this new law would have. I'm happy to stand for questions. I think this is a reform bill that would make it so that people are not able to come in. It's a bipartisan thing. It does not mean one party or another is disadvantaged. And I think it's appropriate that new executives, new constitutional officers have an inauguration and inauguration celebration, but people are able to do it in smaller ways with the way they raise money for their campaigns, and that's the nature of the bill. Happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Member questions and discussion. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Marty, I was just doing some quick research. I understand back in 2009, according to ABC News, President Obama's inauguration at that time cost $170 million. So both political parties seem to like to party hardy when it comes to inaugurations. Kind of startling when you think of what that money could do in other directions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, I agree.
Senator
both parties have done it, and it's growing exponentially, not necessarily because the, maybe or maybe not, because the candidates who win are happy to celebrate, but because others are happy to be generous with it to show how good of friends they are. And so I think this would clamp down on it at the state level. So.
Any other questions from the members? And this is a bipartisan bill. I appreciate that we have both parties signed on to it. And Senator Martin, do you have any other testifiers?
I did not bring any, Mr. Chair, but I can picture there are a lot of people who would support this.
Okay. If there's no discussion, we'll take it to the next level. Senator Marty moves that Senate File 2386, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to State and Local Government Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. The motion is granted, and Senator Marty, you are on the way to State and Local Government Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
And with that, that is all of the business that we have today. So meeting adjourned.